Hey, welcome to the AI Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Kyle James, and today we're going to be diving in headfirst into how a software company called Apstra is using AI inside of their own business within the real estate industry and many others. And we'll share the exact steps that you can take in order to implement AI for yourself. Now, before we talk about that, listen closely. Are you looking to implement AI inside of your own company, or maybe just struggling to get your AI to stop hallucinating? Speak to GPT Trainer. GPT Trainer literally builds out and manages your AI for you, eliminating hallucinations for good. Go to gpt-trainer.com. I promise you, it'll be the biggest time-saving decision that you've made all year. Trying to set up AI on your own is like trying to build a house from scratch. Sure, you could do it, but the time and frustration it's going to take you to get it finished, it may not be worth it. It's 1,000 times faster and safer to hire professionals. Schedule a consultation today. Once again, that's gpt-trainer.com. Today I have with me Chun Lee, who is the CEO and founder of Apstra Company. Chun has been a software builder for the last 30 years of his career, and 14 of those years were within AI. He is disrupting the commercial real estate industry, and his proprietary high-precision AI models, which he and his team have pioneered over a decade. Really excited to have this conversation today. Hey, Chun, welcome in. How are you doing today?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kyle. Pleasure.
Yeah, for sure, man. So tell me a little bit, like, how did you find Apstra Company? Like, you've been in this industry for, I mean, the AI before even ChatGPT came out, which is a big deal. Like, so help me through kind of the background with all that.
Yeah, I stumbled into AI literally by accident. I've been a software builder and for a long time. Now it's almost my 30th year. But I've been serving mostly Fortune 500 companies. I worked with companies like GE, Westfield, the mall owner, you know, Arden Realty, which used to be the largest commercial landlord in California, and also Boehringer Ingelheim, which is one of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the world. And I've been working just building a SaaS product. And one day, a friend of mine who was a commercial real estate broker in Los Angeles, nearby where I live, approached me because he had a problem in commercial real estate. He was by hand summarizing commercial real estate documents, commercial leases, LOIs. And he approached me to find a solution. He didn't even think about AI. He thought about a solution. And I looked at the problem and I thought, you know, this is an unusual problem. And I thought I could maybe solve this in a few years. Took me 14 instead and to build a solution that kind of works for him. Irony is he retired in the meantime. So, but he left me with a changed course in my life. And I've been in AI ever since, solving this problem and building it. Yeah. And really the key is accuracy. Accuracy is the problem in this space.
Yeah. So let's go back in time here a little bit. So if you think your friend or your colleague had never came to you with that problem, do you think you'd still be where you're at today?
Who knows? But I always had an interest, great interest in AI. So I'm sure I would have been working something in AI, but I ended up working in a space of AI I call derivative AI. So most people think of AI as just one big gigantic thing, but I distinguish between three types of AI depending on the type of task. One is generative AI, which the vast majority of the world is basically focused on generative AI. Generative AI is literally create something out of nothing, right? Out of the prompt, create me a report, create an image and video. There's another type of AI I call derivative AI. Derivative AI is exactly the opposite. You don't want anything creative. You know, if you're summarizing something, right, you're extracting information from documents. Say you're a loan officer in a bank. You're putting a loan document together, and you require information from different tax forms or different information. You don't want anything creative, right? You don't want anything created. And that's when derivative AI kicks in. And the third one is I call analytical AI. Analytical AI is literally about of making a recommendation, making a forecast, right? So Netflix is a good example where based on your viewing behavior, it tries to predict the next movie you like to watch. You know, and Netflix literally has an analytical AI built in and that it's used every day kind of a thing. And so my space is derivative AI, which is not very well understood AI, really field of AI. And that is what I focus on, you know.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit on the derivative AI. Like, that's like kind of like, I'd love to kind of chime in a little bit deeper there. So like in this regard, like when you start doing on the derivative AI side, not the generative or the others, but like what specific like challenges were you trying to solve? And like, why derivative versus something else? You know what I mean? So kind of like paint the picture for me on that.
Yeah, but because generative AI is really made to create something, right? And as I mentioned before, right? In derivative AI, you don't want anything created. You know, it's bad if something's created, right? You don't want your bank statement made up something, right? It should reflect what your actual bank statement is, right? You don't want to have $100,000 in your bank account and AI makes something up and says, I have only 10,000, right? It's disastrous for a bank to have something like this, right? So in that space of AI, you can use ChatGPT, but it will very often hallucinate. It will often create some stuff that's not there. And we have been trying long before ChatGPT, trying to solve this problem. But naturally, there are many, many difficulties. And the biggest issue here is accuracy, data accuracy. And if you use generative models like a ChatGPT, it will hallucinate, right? Hallucination is part of modern day AI, really, especially the LLMs. It is hallucinations happen as people know because LLMs are probabilistic in nature. Right. It's a really good guesser, you know, AI, if you will. It doesn't have a consciousness like it's not sentinel like we humans are, kind of a thing. Right. And as a result, that's why it hallucinates. But hallucination is acceptable in some fields. Say if I'm in a creative profession, if I'm a graphic designer, for example, right, I'm okay if it hallucinates and then creates something weird, you know, because I'm part of the process anyway. But in other industries like commercial real estate, banks, financial services, hallucination is deadly, right? Definitely deadly, literally, if you try to use that kind of AI models in healthcare. Right. Imagine you're building an AI model that dispenses medication to patients, and it says it has incredible accuracy, 1 out of 1 billion, but that patient is dead. Right. So in those instances, you cannot have any hallucination. Right. But then you talk about commercial real estate banks where it hallucinates, but it's very detrimental because it damages reputation. So at least no human lives are at stake, but it is creates a lot of reputational damage to the brand. That's for that reason we try to avoid. But that's exactly why there will be a time till AI is really implemented in areas where human lives are at stake, airplanes, cars, right? It's going to be much, much more slower and difficult to implement AI technologies. There are attempts to do that, but usually in environments where there is a human supervision going on, like Tesla's, the auto driving, right? That's an AI form, but there's a human involved in that, and it's a responsibility of human to override in case AI, you know, messes up, kind of thing, right? But you wouldn't. It's much more difficult to have to build an AI model where there is no human in the loop. There's no supervision in the loop. There's attempts made, you know, robotaxis, but it's much more difficult. And that's why it takes so long to implement.
Yeah. Yeah. I see a lot of like companies out there today, especially like the you know, mid-market enterprise, bigger companies who have so much data they're working with. Like in this case, like what you would advise is, hey, look, generative AI, I would not take that approach unless you're doing something creative, such as like marketing or sales or anything along those lines, because there is that human involved. But then as far as like taking it to the next level for a bigger organization, it's like, hey, look, you have to go to the derivative side because you cannot allow for the hallucinations, because that is the key moments where if something goes wrong, it can go detrimentally wrong. And same thing with the analytical side.
100%. You hit the issue on the nail on its head. That's why most of the advances, most applications these days in AI are mostly in some form of creative field, right? Creating a marketing brochure, creating a new report about whatever. Somewhere there's like human involved or accuracy matters less. So entertainment industry is a good example, right? Entertainment industry is lots of advancements right now going on in the entertainment industry, creating video clips, creating this, creating sceneries, kind of a thing. All those, yeah. So what if it's AI hallucinates, messes something up? It's for entertainment purpose anyway. A human is involved typically in creative processes. So yeah, AI is very, very useful that. But not sure a bank would just with blind eyes implement an AI in their system into the workflow, right? And definitely not in an airplane, right?
No, it's using generative AI. Derivative or analytical, maybe so.
There is a form of AI already in there. It depends on the exact definition of AI. But you know, some people would say an autopilot is a form of AI, right? So there is a form, but autopilot is an old technology, has been around for a long time, right? Literally since the beginning of AI, then it started 70 years ago, kind of a thing, right? So yeah, so. It needs to be used. AI needs to be used very differently depending on subject, depending on accuracy requirements, depending on if the human lives are at stake, what kind of a risk they involve. So depending on the risk profile and the use case, AI develops differently for that reason. So when I listen to most of the conversation going on in AI, everybody thinks, oh, is my job in danger because of AI? Is this industry going to go away because of AI? And I look at it differently. I look at it differently because in a particular job, you know, AI will make different strides depending on what the task is. I'll say, for example, a commercial real estate broker, an attorney, right? He or she may do 20, 30 different tasks as part of his job. AI is not going to replace everything or do nothing. It's going to do it for certain tasks. It will be very advanced. So that task that person doesn't have to do, while another task where human, you know, where it's data critical, AI will be far slower in adoption because of the data accuracy issues kind of a thing, right? So it's not a black and white thing, right? It, depending on what activity and what task we're talking about, AI will make advances at a different pace. That's what I'm trying to say. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So now the different clients you've been working with, I mean, you've mentioned real estate, and obviously I noticed that there's probably multiple industries you're working with, but like, I guess like walk me through that, like kind of the step-by-step process. Like if someone comes aboard and they're like, hey, I want to start, where do I begin? Or what are they trying to, like, what does that process look like from start to finish, especially when you're integrating the AI with different types of businesses?
Yeah, so we have built an AI model. We call it an APS, AI Precision System. So this is a technology we have developed in our firm the last 14 years of my career that it produces for a specific task, which is summarization of LOIs, letter of intents, which are essentially proposals in commercial real estate, really accurate summarizations, you know, and that is an application that we've built and forged an application around that. When a client comes to us, we need to embed the AI into the work system, right, into the workflow. So we typically try to talk to them and have a conversation. How do you work really exactly? Now, we have a very fairly good idea, but everybody has his own variations of working. And where is it integrated? Sometimes the brokers themselves do it. Other times, you know, not the broker, but an assistant is doing this. So depending on what the circumstances, we deploy AI in different ways. So that's the biggest thing. Then also, our engine needs to be trained. Depending on the client, we apply different training models to them. That's how our AI model achieves higher level of accuracy. And that's the other important difference with the AI is compared to the software world. In the past, let's say pre-ChatGPT era, right? When I was building a lot of applications, you design an application, you build an application, you test it, you deploy it, you're done, right? Then application is supposed to work right away. In the age of AI, that's when the work begins. that's when you have to start training the model. That's how it works. So in a way, if you think about it, AI behaves almost like a human being, right? It's when you hire an accountant in your firm, right? Naturally, you're going to hire somebody with proper qualification, with the right training and went to the right school. But till that person understands all the idiosyncrasies of your firm, it's going to take 2-3 months. It's going to be uptime, right? AI applications behave a little bit like that these days, you know, like a human, a new member of a team as a human rather than an application that you just buy off the shelf or shrink wrap and deploy it and boom, you're done kind of thing. Right?
Yeah.
So that's an interesting observation, I thought.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm like picturing Star Wars right now for some reason in my mind, like R2-D2, and like slowly they have all this like the capabilities, but it's like you still got a lot to learn that you need to figure out. Like I know you're good at like analyzing, but like watch and learn a little bit. But like as they watch and learn, like that's when it becomes more and more impactful as the more data they're gathering behind that. You know what I mean? So,
exactly. The learning is a critical part of an AI model. Although there's a dichotomy here. You know, in one sense, AI is software. And that's making the biggest mistake I see when people build AI models. They bypass. When you build software, there's a certain process you have to go through that. And I see a lot of AI applications, I can tell that they were not built by people who have an experience building software. So in one sense, you have to build AI models like you're treating it like a software, like another piece of software. At the other hand, when you deploy software, when you deploy AI models, they're very different. You have to treat them differently, right? As I said, in a traditional SaaS application, you deploy it, you're done. From day one, client can assume near perfect results, you know, as long as the tests show the right results. In AI, you have to give that application a ramp up time. you know, 2-3 months, ramp them time, training time till that system is now working as expected, if you will.
Yeah, for sure. And so, you know, obviously there's a lot happening in the AI space, moving very fast. Like for Apsure Company, though, like what are some of those maybe upcoming AI initiatives that you have planned out? And then where do you see AI playing maybe some of the biggest role in a lot of your operations over the next couple of years?
Yeah, so we have big plans. Obviously, we're building currently a suite of 10 different applications, you know, all in the commercial real estate space. That's really our specialty. You know, even before I started building AI application, I've been working as a consultant in that space. So we understand fairly well how their processes work and how difficult that is. For us, that's really our major goal in terms of how AI will go. I think it will make rapid strides, especially in a generative space, that there will be a lot of improvements going on. In the derivative space, there will be some progress going on, but the derivative space by itself is really difficult to work with. There's a lot of challenges, and in my view, not enough done in terms of research, investment in that space, because most people don't understand that space very well. You know, I usually talk to investors about this, and I usually get a blank looks about this, you know, because they don't understand this. You know, they treat AI as one big blob and it's everything is the same. It's clearly not, you know. And analytical is another space that needs to really go in there. But if you think about it, if you think about corporate Fortune 500 companies, the vast majority of Fortune 500 companies run on derivative and analytical tasks. Generative tasks, yes, is a big factor, but the derivative and analytical tasks are so much bigger if you think about it. So I see a lot of growth happening in the industry, in the AI industry, in those two spaces over the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years in that time frame.
Yeah. It'll be interesting because like there's so much focus right now on the generative AI side of things, but like the derivative and analytical, it's like there's still so much untapped potential. Really not a potential, but just discovery that needs to be happen
yeah.
first. Because right now there's so much focus on the generative side. Like, so I'll be really curious and like kind of excited and thrilled to see when that transition happens where it does focus more on like the derivative and people are getting a better grasp and like starting to dig a little deeper into that. So, and as we wrap up, Chun, so man, it's been great. You are just chock full of information on AI and I love it. I feel like you could talk all day about this. Do you feel that way? Because I feel like you could.
I do actually talk about them all day.
All day, every day.
All day, every day. I give so many talks and so many conferences and virtual as well as in person. I just 2 weeks, I gave an hour talk about AI.
Yeah, you're like, I don't need any slideshows. Just put me up there with the mic. I'll just start talking. Like, that's all I needed. I think that's like what people are, I'm sure they gobble it up. So, but as we start wrapping up, man, like, where can people learn maybe a little bit more about you and maybe a little bit more about Apsure Company that you feel like is a good next step for them to check out?
Yeah, so I write about AI quite a bit. Every week I write an article about AI, how it relates, how it impacts our future. You can find this on my LinkedIn, so feel free to connect up with me. It's linkedin.com/in/Chunhyonglee, Choonhyonglee. So feel free to link up with me. You can find more information about our website, abstracompany.com, abstracompany.com. So yeah, I know you can also email me if you have any questions. Feel free. It's choon@abstracompany.com. So these are the ways to reach me, you know, and let's have a conversation going. I think we need more conversation about AI. It's so ironic, you know, when I started the AI, nobody wanted to talk about AI. I was one of those weird geeks and, you know, nerds that want to talk about AI. Now that's all people want to talk about is AI. And now I'm almost like, get out. It's really the opposite going on sometimes.
That's so funny. You're like, yeah, I'm not like, a nerd no more. I'm the hero. Oh, love it. Oh, man. Chun, it's great having you on, brother. Definitely keep, maybe have you on the show sometime again in the future.
Anytime.
Yeah, brother. All right. Cool, man.
Thanks
awesome.
So much,
and thanks, everybody, for listening in. Remember, if you're looking to implement AI into your business today, please don't try and do it yourself. The time and stress the AI could cause, it may not be worth it. Schedule a call with GPT Trainer and let them build out and manage your AI for you. Once again, gpt-trainer.com. Signing off for now. Have a great rest of the day, everybody. Thanks so much for listening in and looking forward to seeing everyone on the next episode of AI Chronicles.